Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance, and we're doing something special this week. It's my birthday this week, and I know Spider-Man comes out this week, but we're going to look at Spider-Man all next week. This week, I'm traveling and enjoying life and doing everything, so we're looking at the best of our show over the last year plus. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great ride, and so, for those of you who have not been here since day one, we're going to look back at some good times and great oldies, as one of my local radio stations says. So here we are. We're looking at some of the best shows of the Night Nerd.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. It is Thursday. I'm your host, Derek. All week, we've been talking monsters, and unfortunately, your traditional host, Lance, has a monster attack of laryngitis. So I offered to pinch hit and step in for the day. Today, we'll be talking about cryptozoology, cryptids. Lance and I are actually both huge fans of cryptozoology. I think we both wanted to be cryptozoologists when we grew up. And for those who don't know, cryptozoology is the study of hidden animals, animals that most people don't actually believe exist. We're talking about Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the Lake Champlain Monster, any of those guys, the Yeti. A lot of creatures from supposedly myth or story that people like myself, Lance, and cryptozoologists think have some root in reality. Now, the term cryptozoology was actually coined by Ivan T. Sanderson in 1961 in his book Abominable Snowman, Legend Come to Life. There was also a book in 1955 written by Bernard Hevelmans called On the Track of Unknown Animals. Those two books are kind of the source of cryptozoology. Now, of course, cryptozoology as a trend has gone back even further. There are reports even in the 16th, 17th centuries of something in the Loch Ness, and the first report of Bigfoot sighting goes back to the mid-1800s. But for all intents and purposes, cryptozoology as a science or pseudoscience did begin in the late 50s, early 60s. And like I say, I use the term pseudoscience. It is considered by many to be a pseudoscience because it does not rely on the scientific method. In fact, most cryptozoology is based on researching folklore and myth and what little eyewitness evidence and testimony exists for these animals. It is hotly debated still to this day. Skeptics are happy to dismiss any evidence of any kind of cryptozoological findings, but there have been certain historical points that have helped cryptozoologists, like the discovery of, and I always screw up this name, but I believe it was called the coelacanth. There was a fish thought to go extinct in the late Cretaceous period that in the 40s or 50s was found to still be living off the coast of Australia, because everything crazy comes from Australia. Also, there was a species called the Homo floricanus, aka the Hobbit, in 2003, which is a kind of a small, malformed, early-stage human that also gives the idea of cryptozoology some credit. There was a Yeti creature. The Orang Pendils are believed to be based on real creatures, which also helped the cause. A lot of people wonder why cryptozoologists don't try to discover new animals and only try to find old ones. It's a legitimate question. You can't immediately dismiss a skeptic, just like a skeptic shouldn't immediately dismiss cryptozoological evidence. But it does make more sense that a creature that's been around and has a deep root in myth and folklore and story makes a lot more sense as something that you would want to research and try to find the roots for. Many people do question the reliability of these stories and investigations, but, I mean, you have to admire their dedication. These are people who have spent their lives trying to prove essentially the unprovable. To this day, there's still a debate over the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot footage, for example. No one has ever been able to successfully deny that footage. I know there have been a lot of people who've stated, you know, the footage is a hoax, but no, I don't think anyone's actually given enough evidence to completely say that the evidence is a hoax. Some of the most famous pictures of the Loch Ness Monster, while proven hoaxes, others have not been so easily dismissed. I personally have my own beliefs as far as those two creatures, but I allow you to, or I like you to form your own conclusions, of course. As one observer said, cryptozoologists are the perfect example of the old Latin saying, I believe because it is incredible. And I think that's an important lesson to take away from this. Ultimately, it makes the world a better place to believe that there are still things out there that we haven't discovered, that there's still something out there that we don't know. And a belief in the mysterious, the incredible, really helps that. I personally, like I say, I have my own beliefs about Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, and other creatures. And I invite you to write us here at The Night Nerd and tell us what you think. You can always hit us up at nightnerd@outlook.com or nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen to us on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can leave us likes and reviews there. Thank you so much for putting up with my slight inability to talk. This is kind of a last-minute thing. Thank you so much to Lance, who has generously let me take over his show for a day while he is recovering from a bout of laryngitis. Hopefully he'll be back with you tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll talk about what you want to talk about. I don't know if he's actually picked a category yet for his Friday, Fan Friday. So please do. If you have any suggestions or ideas, write in for that as well. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. Have a good night.
I'm a monster. Lock me away. It was her eyes that drove me insane. Black as hell and cold as ice. When she disappeared, it was no surprise. And I'm a monster.